This is episode 76 with Stacy Ferrara and Jared Kleinhardt.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxy.
I'm so excited today to have two of my good friends, Jared and Stacy, here to talk about their new book, 2 Billion Under 20. Jared is the co-founder and co-author of 2 Billion Under 20. He's also the founder of Kleinhardt Ventures and an in-demand public speaker. As a speaker, Jared's spoken to audiences of 20 to 1,000 plus people around the world, from TEDx stages to corporate boardrooms, about the millennial empowerment, youth entrepreneurship, community building, and much more. He shared a stage with various thought leaders, including Peter Diamandis, Kevin Harrington, Les Brown, Charlie Owen, and even Pitbull, Mr. 305. And Stacy's an established entrepreneur, best known for co-founding MySocialCloud.com, an online password manager whose investors included Sir Richard Branson, Jerry Murdoch, and Alex Welch. In 2013, she and her brother sold their company to Reputation.com. More recently, Stacy teamed up with Jared, and she co-founded 2 Billion Under 20, a community of extraordinary young individuals who refuse to believe that age is a barrier to achieving greatness. The company helps young people develop and chase their dreams at a young age. Ferrara has been featured in many publications, including the cover of 17 Magazine, Huffington Post, Women's 2.0, Business Insider, TechCrunch, Forbes, you name it. She's killing it. She's a well-known speaker, and she's spoken at public conferences across the globe, including TechCrunch Bangalore, the Scottish Startup Summit, TEDxU San Diego, and Grammy Media Week. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks so much for having us. Excited to be here.
My absolute pleasure. So why don't you, Stacy, start with telling me how you got involved with 2 Billion Under 20, and then maybe you can go ahead, Jared.
Definitely. So I guess for me, the way that I got ushered into the 2 Billion Under 20 community that we've really come to create is because I started an internet security company with my brother when I was 18 years old. And so I was of this group of people who were sub 20 years old who were really passionate about creating and building. And I sold that company at 20 years old and kind of realized that there was a community, but it was kind of a really small community at the time of young people who were doing things like that. And so I guess we'll get into the story later about how Jared and I met, but when we had started discussing kind of what we wanted to build with 2 Billion Under 20, it was something that I believed in the mission of young people doing awesome things, and I wanted to do anything that I could to help out and help those kids who are passionate about creating.
Cool. So what about you, Jared?
Yeah, so we both actually met at the Teal Summit in November of 2012, and there's one of the talks there that I heard about how there were 20 people selected for this wacky program called the Teal Fellowship each year. There's about 200 people in the room that day, and then 2 billion people in the world, 20 and under. And the speaker kind of challenged us to spread the virus and get more young people to do amazing things with their lives. So that talk kind of sat in my mind for a few months and started thinking about different ways that crowdsourcing could apply to other industries, because the company that I had before we started 2 Billion Under 20 was called Synergist, and it was a crowdsourcing site that allowed you to, or it was a crowdsourcing site for social entrepreneurs. But I was thinking of ways that crowdsourcing could apply to other industries, thought books would be interesting, and in the shower one day, this idea for 2 Billion Under 20 came to me. Pitched it to the Teal group, which you're familiar with, and very shortly afterwards, Stacy decided to come on board and help me make this book community and larger company movement a reality. And it's just kind of been a whirlwind ever since. I mean, I know we've learned a lot in launching this book. I know we've met really amazing people like yourself from all over the world, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Way too kind, brother. Way too kind. So, Thiel Foundation, then what next?
Yeah, so I saw the post that he had made on Facebook, and then I reached out and said, yeah, this is something I'm interested in. Like I had mentioned, that was the time that like I had literally, we had just sold the company like a month or two before I saw that post. And so I had a lock-in period where I had to work at Reputation.com, who acquired my last company. And I was kind of looking for like, what am I going to do besides just working this 9-to-5 job? And when I saw that opportunity, I was like, this is something I totally believe in. Let's see what we can do with it.
This is so cool. So I'm loving the idea that you guys caught on at such an early age that you had the ability to empower other people who were, you know, 20 and under. Many people don't even think about this generation, but they think that you have to sort of grow older, get wiser, and then work harder. But the thing that I'm curious about is where this inspiration came from.
Just took showers and had more ideas.
That's funny.
Last 2 years have been one long shower.
Oh, Jared. Okay, so moving on from the shower thing, what were the first steps that you guys took? You know, once you knew that you had the idea, you wanted to make this community and create an environment where people were inspired, what were the first things you guys did?
Yeah, so I think it's a couple of things. And I think the first thing that we did was we kind of cultivated a Facebook group of people that we thought were solid people who had really solid stories and people who were actually making change in the world. And so we kind of cultivated that group and started talking to people kind of online through that group. And the thing too that to keep in mind, Jared and I have been really active and still are really active in this like sub 20 community, going to all the Thiel Fellowship conferences, going to things like Teens in Tech, that's unfortunately not around anymore, but kind of going to all of those events where these young ambitious people hang out. So we were kind of really active in the community and then just started adding people into this Facebook group saying, hey, here's a group where we can all kind of keep in touch beyond this one conference where we can all chat. And then we started building out things like Google Hangouts, where we would bring in, like we brought in the HR manager of Excel Partners, which is like a VC firm in San Francisco, to speak to everyone about like what it means to be in his position, what he looks for to hire for the venture capital firm's portfolio companies, to try and add more value. So doing things like that to kind of bring the community to get together over things that we're interested in. But really, because everyone's so spread out, focusing on that Facebook group is what we had been doing previously. I don't know, Jared, if you have anything to add.
No, that's pretty spot on. In terms of the actual book, I mean, like Stacy said, it started with our own personal networks. And you know, since both of us have been young entrepreneurs since young ages and had, you know, different businesses in the past, we knew a bunch of different young entrepreneurs and young techies that consisted about of the first like 20 or 30 contributors that came on board. And you know, for 2 billion under 20, the book, we brought together 75 really smart and ambitious people, all 20 and under at time of writing, in order to get the 2 billion under 20 to act on their passions in life. And you know, so the first 10 or 20 came from our networks, and then via those people, we got a bunch of different introductions and also kind of poached other lists. So, you know, if you were 20 and under on the Forbes 30 under 30 list in 2013, you got an email from us. And you know, same if you were on any like Inc. list or Fast Company.
Thanks for the invite, Jared.
Yeah, unfortunately, we met you too late, and you're too old. You're a grandpa.
Yeah.
No, so, and then you know, from there, when we've been building this larger online community, you know, Stacy hit it on the head. It's just really, you know, anyone that we're meeting that's doing really ambitious, meaningful work, we're adding to our group because we don't want to let them go, and we want to, you know, get as many people as possible to act on their passions while also starting to get more and more people to work together on solving these really big and ambitious problems.
I see. And, you know, flipping through the pages right now, this actually reminds me of the Chicken Soup series that I used to read when I was in high school. And I remember being captivated by those stories. Is that what you were going for with the book?
Yeah. And I love that you kind of compare it to the Chicken Soup for the Soul, because that's one of the things that we were kind of going for, in that everyone in our generation, and especially the people who are kind of going above and beyond and doing more, you know, we're all about how can we be efficient with our time. And so having those bite-sized, like, you can read this in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, do one a night and just put it by your nightstand and then pick it up and read the next one the next night, is kind of exactly what we were going for. So I love that you compare it to that.
Now, you know, as Jared eloquently put it out there, I'm practically the youngest grandpa out there, the 25-year-old. So since your book is called 2 Billion Under 20, can people my age and older benefit from the book?
Yeah, so I would say that you're totally in our target demographic. So that's one of the things, now that we've kind of launched the book, we're looking at how can we kind of widen the reach. And we have a lot of things coming out shortly that, that'll be catered exactly to that age group between 20 and 35-ish. So look out for things coming soon. People can sign up for our, subscribe to our email list to get updates on what we've got coming.
Good, because I was starting to feel left out.
100%, and I'm there with you. I'm older than 20 as well, so I'm there with you. I'm an old grandma, I guess, as people would say.
good. So your dynamic, both of you, your dynamic fascinates me, because one, you got Jared here, who's a globetrotter, always doing several things, and you're doing this gap here where you're traveling to different countries, and Stacy, you're these super, like, you know, entrepreneur who's starting several companies, but you're more stable, I would say, as in terms of staying in the United States. How do you guys work together, and how do you make it work as such young entrepreneurs who also have very different lifestyles?
Yeah, it's been, you know, very interesting. I think, you know, Stacy and I have really grown a lot together, and we're certainly different types of people. But that's why we work so well together. And, you know, I think that as far as working remotely, you know, she's been very respectful of the lifestyle that I try and cultivate for myself, which is this kind of digital nomad type style. And she's had, you know, school and other things that she's been going in and out of. And she recently got a Thiel Fellowship. So, you know, there's different things that we've been doing in our own individual lives. Yet we also have, you know, just crazy passion for what we're doing together, as well as just a very healthy mutual respect for one another, to the point where, you know, we know that our working styles are different, and we know that at times, you know, we're not going to be gelling so well together, and other times, you know, everything is firing on all cylinders. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a really solid backbone to our relationship as co-authors and co-founders, and it's been really meaningful to me. You know, actually, we really met at the same Thiel Summit that we got the idea for the book, and just shook hands in a New York City subway, and it's grown into just an amazing co-authorship, co-foundership, and friendship, and it does mean a lot to me. She's pushed me to become a better person and better entrepreneur, as I'm sure I have with her, and yeah, it's been really special.
Aww, you're gonna make me bring out the tissues.
I don't.
What about you, Stacy? What are your thoughts?
No, yeah, it's been great. I think kind of touching on some of Jared's points, you know, both of us have, 2 Billion Under 20 is definitely a focus for us, but we both have, you know, other projects that we're working on as well. And so there have been times where, as Jared mentioned, this past year I went back to school, and I've been, you know, there are times where I'm busy with school, and he's always right there as a co-founder and co-author should be, and taking up responsibility, and then vice versa when something else is going on in his life. So I think it's worked really well for us. Just because, you know, having another person always helps with when something gets really busy in one person's life, the other person is there to kind of pick up the slack a little bit, and then from there things can grow. And so I think it's been awesome having him as a co-author and co-founder.
So staying in that same vein, I want to talk about our generation. Many times, you know, people define us as people who are multitaskers. We have very short attention spans. What advice do you have for our generation as it pertains to dealing and juggling multiple projects and still having success?
So I guess I can take this question first. Because I am doing multiple things. This year I was in school. I have my own marketing technology company called Admore, and then working on 2 billion under 20. And so I'm definitely doing multiple things. That being said, I think that there's something to be said for our generation where everyone is kind of entrepreneurial in the sense that a lot of people, most people, I would say, in our generation have lots of different skills where they know surface level a lot of things that they're able to do. So a lot of people might know about finance, they might know about marketing, they might know about technology, they might know how to code, but they might also have like one very specialized thing that they know really well, and then they know all these other things as well. And so I think that's kind of the thing that defines our generation and what we're going to start seeing moving forward is these people who have multiple projects, and it's totally fine to have multiple projects if you can handle that. But then people who also, like you said, know a lot about a lot of things, but know one thing so deep and so in depth that that's something that they can always kind of lean on to support themselves, whether it be through consulting or through working at a company and then having side projects outside of the company or things like that. And I think that's kind of a hybrid model that I'm starting to see a lot.
Completely agree, Stacey. Now, Jared, talk to me about the stages the young entrepreneurs go through. I mean, you've had certain stages where you've certainly experienced different emotions in your journey as an entrepreneur. I'm wondering if you could sort of maybe flesh out some of the things you've had and maybe even talk about the experience as a whole.
Yeah, I think there's different stages that we enter as young entrepreneurs and just entrepreneurial thinkers in general. I think there's kind of an experimental phase where you're starting to see, you know, hey, what skills do I have and what am I passionate about? And, you know, that's kind of where I've been the last couple years. And then, you know, in the last 6 months or so, personally, I've gotten into this mode of like, okay, I know what are my top two or three focuses and what are the big projects. And now I just need to double down on them and really focus. I think there is a beauty in being able to travel and being able to be entrepreneurial about your career, whether or not you start a company or are kind of an intrapreneur at various places. And I think more and more millennials are taking on entrepreneurial thinking in terms of their career. At some point, then the switch needs to be flipped on, and you know, really in-depth focus needs to be had. So that's kind of the point where I'm at. You know, I balance 2 billion under 20, which is my main focus, and then also I've been working on my second book, which I'm turning into an information product and another community called the Gap Year Experiment, and that's, you know, where I've been traveling the world doing a bunch of different crazy things in the name of helping people become more conscious and aware of their major life decisions. And then, you know, the consulting company, while it's been under a separate name, I'm trying to slowly usher it in under the 2 billion under 20 brand, so I don't have to focus on, you know, five different things. I can focus on two or three.
Now, Stacey, I remember when I was reading about you initially, one of the things that fascinated me and was like blowing my mind was that you got the attention of Richard Branson and Mr. Welch. How did that come about? Can you maybe just walk us through that story?
Yeah, definitely. I think the whole, it's kind of interesting. It's been like 4 years since that whole thing started. But yeah, my brother and I and our friend Shiv Prakash started My Social Cloud in the summer of 2011. The story people love is, yeah, that we got invested in by Richard Branson, Jerry Murdoch of Insight Venture Partners, and Alex Welch, who founded and sold PhotoBucket. And we grew the company over the course of like 18 months and then got acquired by reputation.com. And at the time it was, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're doing what you have to do to kind of make the next day go by, make sure you can pay payroll every month, all those sorts of things. But it was certainly an exciting experience. I feel so incredibly fortunate to have learned so much, through that experience, and also to have to be given the opportunity to learn that much from people like Branson. That's just kind of an opportunity that I'm so thankful for every day, and certainly played a role in where I am. And then selling it was, that was also kind of It's tough to say. Like, it's an amazing experience because on one hand, you've had the experience at 20 years old of going through an acquisition, but on the other hand, it's like you're giving up the thing that you worked for and thought about for the past 2 years of your life. But overall, it was an amazing experience, and yeah, just learned so much, and hoping that I can take what I've learned from that and continue to grow off of it and continue to do cool things with 2 Billion Under 20 and with AdMore.
Great. Awesome. So for the young listener out there who's listening to this podcast and thinking about his or her passion, what can you say to him or her to rekindle that, harness that, and use that to build something? And now that you have such a vast resource of people, what's to come with 2 Billion Under 20?
Yeah, so I think you're touching on two different things. For us, in terms of what's to come, what 2 Billion Under 20 has afforded us is access to a world-class talent pool of, crazy, wacky, talented, and smart people in all different industries, such as yourself. And we have scientists in our group, we have Olympic athletes, we have singers, we have techies, we have really anyone you could think of who's around our age, who's doing incredible things. We have them in our group or have access to them. And that provides the opportunities to grow, multiple types of companies, have different content streams. So, as Stacey said, we're kind of putting the finishing touches on one or two of our first hypotheses on what's bigger and to come. So just continue following in for updates. And then as far as for your listeners, in terms of how to go about, what they're passionate about and how to start a business perhaps, or, start a project, I think I would go back to what I was saying earlier about just having an experimental mindset and, not necessarily waiting to start a business or not waiting to start that project that you've always dreamed of doing, but figuring out, what's the cheapest and quickest way that I can get this idea out there and run an experiment on whether people will buy my product or whether people will use this certain service or read this certain blog that I've been dreaming about creating, and then just go ahead and do it. Because we're living in an age where technology is growing so fast and more people are starting to become entrepreneurial in their thinking, where if you wait 6 months, then your opportunity might be gone. So I would just say, cut the BS and just go ahead and throw something up and see what happens. Just like we did with 2 Billion Under 20, throw a Facebook post out there and see what happens.
I couldn't agree more. And, that's exactly how UID started. I just put it out on Facebook, and I created a website and reached out to my community and said, hey, this is kind of what I want to do. Do you want to submit stories? And then it, it blew to everything else. So I definitely agree with you on that. What about you, Stacey? Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the biggest thing, I agree with everything Jared said, but I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is that change is the one constant in everyone's life. It's going to happen no matter what. Even if you don't start the project that you're thinking about working on, or if you do, change is going to happen in your life. So don't fear that. And I would say, just if people have a project idea, just go out, experiment, test it, and don't be afraid of what's to come, because every day there's something new and it changes. But that's the beauty of it.
Now, Stacey, given your experience with entrepreneurs, I'm curious, what have you noticed that entrepreneurs look for when investing in a company?
Definitely. So yeah, so we did raise money for the last business. What did they look for? Ambition, kids who really wanted to make something happen. I think we were at a point where we wanted to prove ourselves too. And so they could kind of see that hunger in our eyes of like, hey, we want to prove ourselves and this is how we're going to do it. We sent them kind of all the standard documents, a pitch deck, actually, I think it was just a pitch deck. And then Jerry flew out to meet us and met with us over the course of the day. And then, so I guess I'll just give timeline-wise. We had kind of met Branson that summer in, I think it was June or July. And then a couple weeks later, Jerry flew out to meet us after we had kind of sent documents and sent an initial prototype. And then they ended up investing that night. And I think it was one of those things where investors are really just looking for people that are hungry and passionate and people who aren't afraid to just go and make it happen. And I think having a prototype for us really helped with that.
So your journey was a little different. You had met Branson before. and you had built some sort of relationship. You also had a prototype, so it's it's not typical of the other entrepreneurship journey where people would be pitching to people they have never met before. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I was going to say that's not typical. So I guess for people who are like actually people who don't have the opportunity to like go to an event like that, and I think it's few and far between. I even asked myself today how that happened for us, and I'm not sure. But for other people, I think a lot of it is like looking, and I'm doing this for my next business right now. We're in the middle of raising money too. And it's looking on AngelList. It's looking through your LinkedIn. Who do you know? Who do they know? Ask people if they're willing to make an intro for you. It doesn't hurt to just start talking to people. And I think positioning it as, hey, we're looking for advice. And that's what we did with Branson. Hey, we're looking for advice. And that turned into money. So.
Okay, cool. I hear this phrase a lot, Jared. Luck played a huge part in your success. What do you think about that?
I think, I certainly can't not account for luck, but I think a lot more of it has to come with having a solid mindset or multiple solid mindsets. You know, every time that things are going well, it seems to just snowball and more things continue to happen that also do well. And same with, if you're positive versus negative. I was kind of in a funk in December. I was backpacking Europe, December and January, and I was in Amsterdam, had a call with one of my mentors, and just telling him, hey, here's what's going on. I'm not really feeling 100% right now. And he had me start doing this gratitude journal, which I simply opened up the Notes app on my iPhone, and two or three times a week. I should be doing it every day, but I don't. But two, three times a week, I'll just take 5 minutes. I'll write down what I'm grateful for. And even just doing something as simple as that, frames my mind in a positive thinking way so that I can kind of accept good things and make, push harder to make other things happen. So I think there's multiple mindsets that you could talk about in terms of being more positive and in terms of just continuing the hustle so good things can happen. If you put yourself in a good position and you work hard, I think opportunities will come your way. And the more you capitalize on opportunities, the more of those will come. So, luck obviously, has a role to play in it. If Stacy didn't see the tweet that Richard Branson had about her, about the cocktail party that she met him at, I guess that's luck in a way, because she can't really determine what's on her Twitter feed. I always think about Twitter as like throwing an orange ping pong ball into a river, because there's just so much noise on the site that it's really hard for people to see what you tweet. So, I guess there's luck in the fact that she saw Richard Branson's message, but there's no luck in, the rest of that story in terms of, really hustling to get the money to go to Miami in 48 hours and then, pitching him this concept for my social cloud and everything that transpired afterwards. So sure, there's luck, but the harder you work and the
harder you work, the luckier you get, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, let's get to the meaty, juicy stuff. So, what do people not know about you, Stacy?
I've actually been recently going on a lot of runs with friends around Manhattan, and I love running. So that's like the one thing that I'm excited about now.
And you, Jared, what's tickling your fancy these days?
What am I excited about? That was the question, right?
Yeah, pretty much. What cool things are you finding yourself doing these days?
I guess with the gap year experiment, I've been doing a bunch of wacky things that I haven't even told people about. So I've done like posture training with Miss West Virginia in the past year. I've learned how to cook from a chef who was trained by Bobby Flay. As we record this in late June, today I started a series of dieting experiments. I'm doing like a Ramadan-esque type fast for the next week, and then I'm doing a different diet every week for the 5 weeks after that. So I've been doing a bunch of wacky things to finish up research for my next book. So most people, and some people will see it on Facebook, but most people don't see the full picture of it.
Nice. Like Tim Ferriss. Favorite sport?
Basketball.
Duh, knew that. What about you, Stacey?
Oh man, this is tough. To play or to watch?
Watch.
To watch. Probably football.
All right, now the tough question. What has been your biggest failure? We'll start with you, Jared.
I guess my first company, which was nowigetit.com. I started it at 15 and I never fully launched the thing. I actually made like every single business mistake you can think of, which, you know, it's fine because I was 15, but that was that was certainly the biggest failure. Like a whole like year wasted.
And you, Stacey?
I mean, some people would say that dropping out of college twice is a failure.
Twice so far.
Twice so far. But I would say, you know, there have been kind of a string of things, to Jared's point, there have been a string of things before my social cloud and even after that that I've worked on that haven't really gotten as far as maybe I'd like them to have. And so I guess you could call those failures, but I think they're all stepping stones on the way to success.
Well, you know, I always like to say, I never lose. I either win or learn.
Definitely.
Thank you both for coming on here. Where can we find out more about your book? How can people support? And what do people need to do?
Yeah, buy the book. I mean, we've spent over 2 years working on this thing, and I'm certainly not shy to make a request of a $20 or $25 purchase. I think we brought together 75 of the world's smartest, most talented millennials from all over the world in order to share their stories with you, Chicken Soup for the Soul style. And we're really happy it came out. So go on Amazon, go to your local bookstore and get 2 Billion Under 20, How Millennials Are Breaking Down Age Barriers and Changing the World. And personally, you can just email me at jared@2billionunder20.com or check out my personal website at jaredkleinert.com for any of the speaking and consulting stuff. And then Stacey can fill you in on her stuff as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, I echo that. Buy the book. Go to the 2 Billion Under 20 website. If you're a 35-year-old or under 35 and you're interested in joining the community, go to the website and join the community because we'd love to see what you're working on, love to see how we can help you. So buy the book, join the community. People can reach me at stacey@2billionunder20.com. That's Stacey with an EY. And people can also check out my personal site, stacyferreira.com, to see what else I'm working on.
Awesome, awesome. All right, I will put all this in the show notes, and we'll get this out there, man. Let's try to get this a bestseller.
Awesome, and thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure.
The pleasure's all mine, friends. The pleasure's all mine.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.